Hi, everyone. So this is the sort of side bonus show to the Ken Stenfis conversation around costs in life. You know, we always have to compromise something for something. I'll try to keep it short. It's such a, you can go so deep on this, and I'll try to keep it as short, but you know, there's sort of a personal aspect, and then I'll get into kind of parenting and coaching aspect. And one of them was the cost of achieving, you know, for me, high level in volleyball, what sacrifices came with it. And did I have to put certain things aside, whether it's personal pursuits, relationships, friendships? And I would say, you know, in my younger years, certainly in college, I was also working in the fashion business. So I didn't really have that much of, I didn't go out, let's say. And I think when you're younger in high school, you will forego a night out with your friends because you've got practice early morning. I think there's sort of a different kind of pressure. But if I could be honest, if I measured that out, the upside on that is so much bigger. So yes, certainly there's a sacrifice. However, what it gives you, the discipline, you're probably more kind of efficient and productive, like with your studying and your social time. So I would say, even though with that and through college, there's kind of this extra responsibility, how good you get at managing yourself and your time and kind of getting things done ends up almost evening out, if that makes sense. And yeah, certainly you didn't spend as much time with friends, and I never sacrificed a romantic life. I always had meaningful relationships, whether friends or romantically. But you really had to decide, was something important enough to give up the few kind of precious moments you had? And learning that at 16, 17, 18 was really helpful going through the rest of my life. Some of the things were, you know, what did I sacrifice when I actually had to give up volleyball? So was it, you know, injuries? Was I, you know, doing it for the next part of my life, whether it was my marriage, kids, and how was transitioning between a career in professional sports, change after competing in sports? This is a more nuanced and interesting conversation because, one, my body, it was getting hard. My knees were not great. I already have now an artificial knee. But that is how it goes. Like these things, these stages of our life, whether it's a professional sport, a college sport, a high school sport, they all have a season. Even being the big boss, the CEO, if you will, you will transition. And so it's not that I wouldn't say it's the cost, but it certainly has been the price. Like even now, I'm constantly managing body pain from all the repetitive trauma of training incorrectly, overtraining, jumping a million times, hitting a million balls. So I think that everything has a little price tag on it. We all have that and kind of approaching it in that way of, I'm happy to pay that price, right? So for me, moving out of volleyball because my knees hurt, or I also understood the limitation, I think this is a calculated part of my personality where I was like, hey, listen, if I'm going to do other things in my life, and whether that's professionally or decide to have a family, I might want to get on it now because it all takes time. And so that transition is uncomfortable because that was an identity. That was something that gave me a lot of purpose, and it was so clear, and it was how I made my living. And so, yeah, it was scary to transition out because to face the fact like, hey, this isn't making my body feel very good. Or if you would like to expand your family, you are getting at a certain age where you really need to take that serious and consider it. So certainly that was uncomfortable. And what's interesting about sport, right? It's all about you, how you feel, your body. People want to talk to you about it. You're competing, your schedule. And then all these other things, these pursuits of family, children, you really do become kind of service. And even though that gives you a richness and a meaningfulness in your life, it is hard because for so long it was really like about me. And you do, you miss kind of that excellence. Like when you're competing and you're playing at this high level, it's like you have this thing that you do in your life that you do pretty well. And sometimes in real life or in pursuit of business, you flounder, you know, you're always floundering a little bit. And it's not so clear. It's not like, oh, win, lose, here's the check. So that transition is not only humbling, but there's an opportunity to really learn so much and it's expansive. But if I said it's as sexy or as shiny or as clear cut, it isn't. But that's also, you know, part of transitions in general. You know, I was asked like what sacrifices are made on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis when juggling raising kids, my own dreams, starting businesses, maintaining a relationship with my partner that hopefully is really thriving, not just kind of maintaining it, if you will. I think all of us are sacrificing. I think being of service to your life, to the people in it, because you want to have those relationships, that's just part of the deal. But yeah, there's, you know what it is for me is feeling like I don't do anything well. That is the ass kicker for me. So I don't mind like the sacrifice of time or being of service because, you know, sort of these are these next phases of life. But it's just when you feel like you're not doing anything well, like I'm sort of training, I sort of am spending time with Laird, I'm showing up for my kids, but maybe I'm not that fun. Like this is the part, you know, we've started businesses. I do that, but do I do it as well? You know, am I as focused on that as I can be at this relentless pursuit? It's impossible because I'm not willing to forego my relationship with, you know, in my case, my husband, and I'm not willing to not be there for my kids. But for example, I will sacrifice certain time with my kids so I have that time for myself to train. So then you get in this weird quagmire of, okay, I'm staying fit, but I'm like not in my kids' colon or, you know, I wouldn't be a parent who goes to their practices or go to every single game because there's other stuff that has to get done, right? Because there's either business meetings or shoots, or I am going to take that hour to train for myself. So it's within there lies a really interesting juggle where it's like, I'm not willing to give up my entire life for them. I'm willing to be there for them and show up for them and make them feel safe and loved and get them what they need. But I'm not actually willing fully to give up myself. And I see other parents that do that kind of more selflessly than myself. And I'm always curious, like, okay, in the long run, how is it all working out? I don't have the answer to that. I just know that I'm not willing to get completely eaten up. And maybe that does come from the selfishness I've had from being an athlete and from it being all about me. But as far as the sacrifices, let's just say things are pretty scheduled. I'm pretty serious. I'm probably haven't been accused of being that much fun because it's like I'm trying to get shit done. And attacking life isn't always the best. And so that's the other thing I'm trying to work on is trying to live life and not attack it. Not be like, okay, check, 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 got it. From 3 to 5, I'm doing this. From 5 to 5:15, I'm doing that. I pick up the kids and I go like, hey, how was your day? It's like, how do I also try to live life and be fluid and show up with my humanity, not just we're getting this done. We're getting this parenting done. We're getting this wifing done. I'm getting being an entrepreneur done. How do I do it with some joy and some softness? This podcast is brought to you by Ritual. I personally have been taking their multivitamin since, right when COVID started. I needed one. And I learned all about Ritual and I've been taking it ever since. And they know, listen, that women really do need to be a part of the scientific research. And they conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. And the results, It increased vitamin D levels by 43%. We all know the importance of vitamin D. And omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. So they are really very big, not only on the science, but making sure that the ingredients are traceable, clean, and in a bioavailable form, which means your body knows what to do with the actual nutrients once it gets it. And the way they did it is so simple. They took 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption. And it's really easy because it's gentle on an empty stomach. If you're rushing around, you can't be like, oh, I have to get my vitamins, but I need to eat first. Even has a nice little minty essence right at the end after you take it. So you don't have those weird, I call them vitamin burps. I'm not loving it. And Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, Project Verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp. And like I said earlier, everything is traceable. So no more funny business, nothing shady. Ritual is essential for women. 18 plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. You can get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Gabby. That's ritual, ritual.com/Gabby. You can start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 plus to your subscription today at ritual.com/Gabby for 25% off. Sacrifice is a part of life. And so it's like, what? Let's not call it that. Let's call it something else. Let's say I'm choosing this thing over here, so I understand I'm not going to do this thing over there. I'm being clear about that. And kind of maybe flipping the verbiage on it and saying, oh yeah, because I want to do that, clearly I will not be able to do this. And so I think I view it that way. Like, yeah, this is part of what the package is. And I look at that even in health and wellness, right? Like, I would like to feel good. I would like to do these things. So I'm choosing to get up earlier or go to bed sooner or not eat that or train this because this is what I want. And that's how I look at it. And with parenting and coaching, because we talked a lot about this in the episode, you know, obviously it's, you know, there's a context to it. Not everyone has kids or, you know, I'm not a parent who coaches their kids. But for me and actually for Laird and I, with our kids, in relationship to our kids, this is tricky because we come from sports. So, you know, do I encourage our kids to play a particular sport or activity? I do. But it's more about the practice of self-care, not about I want you and need you to be an athlete. And it's also the lessons that I'm hoping that they'll get that will empower them through their life for their relationships and for their work life, not for them to be athletes. Because sports, it's hard. And there's something honest for me about, and non-political, right? Objective. Like, this is hard. Here's information. Can you improve? How do you deal with losing? How do you deal with embarrassment? The feeling of not knowing how to do something and then learning how to do it, what that gives you. Ryan Holiday talked a lot about, you know, proof of concept. I didn't know how to do something. I figured it out. I learned. You can take this concept out into your life. So for us, I think we encourage our kids to play. Even, I admit it freely and wholly, bribery with one of my daughters because negotiating doesn't work. Because I'm just trying to get her into the environment of working hard, dealing with discomfort, dealing with not being successful, dealing with learning how to do something, dealing with being coachable, taking in information and learning how to execute. And standing there and saying, I would like, here's my goal, I'm here, I would like to win. I'm putting my ass on the line. Some days I'm going to come out successful and some days I'm going to be disappointed. This is what I want for my kids because it will just make you have a little few more tools to navigate what life throws at you. Do my kids feel that they have to perform at a high level? Probably. That's tricky. You know, it's one thing if you come from a home where maybe your parents played, you know, junior high or high school level, or God forbid, even a college level, that adds a whole other layer. We've been really diligent about, you know, not pushing that because we did that. And we did that because we wanted to. And also because for me personally, not for Laird, it's different. His is a real passion play. It was a way, it was a way for me to create a life. And I also enjoyed it. And I also enjoyed who I was doing it. I liked the structure. I liked the discipline. I liked working hard. So this is, I think for our kids, we're trying not to make that the message that they have to. But yeah, do they feel that they probably should? Sure. And they look the part, right? Big, strong girls. But there's so many other things. I think it was Robert Greene, forgive me, I don't know if it's like 48 rules, but it was like, do something different than your parents. So I always keep that in my mind. Do my kids think I'm cool was one of the other questions. Absolutely not. I mean, as they get older, I seem to get smarter. I always love that. Like somehow I'm a complete idiot from when they're like 12 to 16. And then I just learn a bunch. You know, they turn 16 or 17 and Laird and I seem to, God, you guys seem to be getting smarter. This is the way it must be. Kids have to tear away, rip away to get their own life, their own identity. They can't do that if they somehow think you really know something. I think later, certainly I've started to notice it with my middle. It seems when they get closer to more independence and freedom, they don't buck you as much. You might be a little cooler or a little smarter. And that's actually not my goal. I could care less. I don't need to be someone who's cool to their kids because that's not what my role is. You know, I'm your mom. I'm hoping like you feel loved and you feel secure and you feel believed in and you feel that it's going to be okay by me. Any way that you choose to do it, you know, as long as there's some integral parts to it, right? Like some honesty and some hard work and a reflection of who this person really is and not do what... Actually, Laird and I are both, I think, you know, pretty contrarian. I don't want my kids to follow the rules. I don't want them to do what's expected of them. I mean, it would make it easier on me, I'm not going to lie. But down inside, I want them to push and be rebellious so that they are walking in a path that is truly their own. And to parent that is more uncomfortable. But I just feel for that in the long run, it's so much better. It's like their own power, their own expression. And I hope they don't do what I expect them to do, because not only is it boring, but it's not my life. I'm doing that in my own life. And, you know, making champions, and I put that in air quotes, it's kind of all bullshit. I've said it many times. I like the template of sport to learn the lessons that make you a champion person, hopefully. And if people think winning and winning medals and winning whatever solves a lot of problems, it doesn't. In fact, it's dangerous in a different way because you get so wrapped up in that identity, you don't expand in some ways that are very, very important as a person. Spiritual practice, a practice of service, a practice of being comfortable if people know what you do or who you are, and realizing that our true value is just who we are. Like, that's good enough. And I can say that because I've maybe experienced certain things at a pretty high level, and I've also met a lot of people that you know, whether they're highly successful in business, you know, kind of literally the 1%, to know, oh yeah, that too is not the answer. And so I really enjoyed this conversation. I was very surprised. Kent obviously is very, very smart, but there's a cost for everything. So what cost do you want to pay? What's worth it to you? And maybe that's the bigger question. And certainly for me, paying with injury and time and stress and navigating so that I can have experience playing a professional sport, being a partner to somebody that I feel passionate about, being my children's mother, you know, pursuing businesses that I feel proud of, I'm certainly happy and grateful to pay that cost. So, you know, maybe that's all we can do. Ask ourselves, who am I and what costs are worth paying? And also actually realizing that we're lucky. We're so fortunate. if we actually get to choose the costs that we want to pay. So thanks for hanging out with me. I always appreciate your time and your ear space and brain space. That wraps it up for today. Make sure to follow us on Spotify for free episodes and subscribe to The Gabby Reece Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me at Gabby Reece on Instagram and Twitter. Aloha.